Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so good to be back here at Geneva. First, I'd like to thank Brian Smith, your pastor, members of the session, for allowing me this opportunity this morning. I haven't had the opportunity to preach since the end of September of last year, so it's a little unusual for me, having been preaching for about 46 Sundays per year for the last 15 plus. Big difference. In any event, before I begin, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the people of Geneva for all the prayers, all the help, all the support Lee and I have received since coming back to Michigan. Thanks for the meals, the lawn mowing, the monetary support, the visits. We can't thank you enough. We've been blessed by you. So I know there's probably some questions of why I stand before you this morning, missing a leg, and spending much of the last 10 months in and out of hospitals. So let me try and explain briefly. Last August, I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis and put on a regimen of steroids and antibiotics. On October 4th, I awoke with my right leg in pain and my foot numb due to a blood clot, probably caused by the colitis and the steroids. Well, that's still uncertain. We went to the emergency room in Barrow, where we lived, and they had no idea what to do. Eventually, I was medevaced to Anchorage, arriving some 10 hours later, and by then, the foot was dead. Efforts were made to save it, but four surgeries over the next 6 days, each cutting a little more off, left me with an amputation above the knee. 2 days after the last surgery, they discovered a perforated colon, and part of the colon was removed. For the next 10 days, I got weaker and weaker because they wouldn't feed me for fear I would need another operation on my colon, and I was slipping ever closer to death each day. By the end of that time, I was so weak I couldn't even raise my head off the pillow. And we decided to return to Michigan, and we thank Dr. John Eggenberger of St. Joe's for making that possible. We left the hospital in Anchorage against medical advice, took a taxi to the airport, and flew to Chicago. We couldn't have made the trip without the help of my daughter, Lorelei, and her husband, John, who was an ER nurse and a former flight nurse who took care of me during the flight. In Chicago, my son, Chris, and that's the little guy over here, picked us up and we drove directly to St. Joe's, where the rest of my colon was removed the next day. Since then, I've spent a month in rehab, had two more surgeries to reverse the ileostomy, another surgery to repair an aneurysm in my stump that went septic, and also two more hospitalizations due to dehydration. But the surgeries are now over, and I'm working on my much postponed PT for my prosthetic. Praise God. Amen. I'm on disability through the Presbyterian Church USA, and have been forced to take retirement against my wishes. I am seeking some part-time employment as I continue my physical therapy. But our time together this morning is not about me at all, but is a time to worship our God. Let us now hear God's word as reported by King Solomon. Listen closely to a reading from the book of Ecclesiastes, written for you. We begin with the first verse of the third chapter. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. For the people of God, this is the word of the Lord. This reading from Ecclesiastes, attributed to King Solomon, speaks not only of obvious truths, but also of how God ordered creation to be, of how events and happenings are not simply accidental, even though it might seem like that. We all know that the opposites quoted make sense. We all experience those same opposites in our own lives. And deep down, we understand that each of us is both good and evil, and that life is never simply black and white, but is always shaded gray. And that's because we are human and not divine. And any divinity we might personally experience is a gracious gift from God. Imagine Solomon writing these words, these inspired words. What were the experiences in his life that God used to bring him to pen this passage? Probably knew the differences between love and hate. Maybe he knew about war and peace. Certainly he knew about birth and about death, as we all do. As we look at these dichotomies, we realize the truth in them. And because that is we, like Solomon, experience them every day. What we sometimes miss is that this is the way God ordained life to be. I know that sometimes I have missed God's truth. I've missed God's presence in my life's journey and where it's taken me. Sometimes I too have cried out, "Why God, me? Why me? Why?" And the only answer I hear is that there is a purpose in the journey, even though I have not yet recognized it. But that's been true all of my days, and I only seem to get it way after the fact. Why was I called to start a new career in my 50s? Why was I called to go to the Alaskan bush? Why was I graced with losing a leg? I can't answer any of those questions, but I can say that God is an integral part of everything that I've experienced. And that's true for each and every one of you. God leads each of us down paths that can be full of joy or full of sorrow. Paths that are painful and paths that are healing. And if you take only one thing away from this scripture passage, let it be this: that no matter what life brings you, you are never alone. That God is with you, standing by your side, leading you from this life, a life of opposites, to a new life, a life of eternity, a life of joy and beauty. More than 1,000 years after Solomon wrote the passage from Ecclesiastes, Jesus of Nazareth was born in Bethlehem, and nothing has been the same since. Imagine, God sent his Son to earth to teach and preach and to heal and to forgive, and ultimately to die, so that we might experience life everlasting. But we wouldn't know any of that without Holy Scripture, which is written to pass on the teachings of God, the teachings of Jesus Christ. Amen? Our gospel reading this morning is as reported by the Apostle Matthew. Hear now the good news of Jesus Christ, beginning with the 39th verse of the 24th chapter. Listen for God whispering in your ear. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake. Would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The people who believe in Jesus Christ, this is the gospel of the Lord. At first glance, this passage seems to be a warning to get your act together, because the apocalypse is almost upon us. and people have been interpreting it that way for the last 2,000 plus years. And there's certainly some truth there, but remember this, only God knows when Jesus will return, contrary to the many predictions about the end of the world. The implicit underlying message in this passage is to act as Christ would have us act, and to do so now. And that's certainly a valid command. And I'd like to go a little farther into what this passage encourages us to do, to change our attitude towards life and its ups and downs. To put it simply, the gospel tells us this: we don't know what comes next. We cannot predict the future no matter how hard we try. We cannot save our resources and gain security. We cannot plan for a tomorrow that will merely be a continuation of today. Because of this one truth, everything in our lives can change in the blink of an eye, and we cannot control it. You can go to bed one night, and when you wake up, you can be missing a leg. Trust me, I know. You can have a wonderful career and suddenly find yourself unable to work. You can lose your life partner to death or divorce. Your children can experience devastating situations, from health issues to drug use, even to rejecting God. But still, through all of this, we must praise God. But it's not only the negatives that we cannot predict. There are times when we are bewailing our misfortunes, and suddenly God's light shines through, lighting that mist of despair with sudden joy and beauty. Praise God. Here's the thing. Life is full of ups and downs, some small, some major. We cannot know the when and how. Only God knows. Many people can become discouraged when they are unable to control their future. Many can learn from their experiences. So how do we respond to the challenges of life, the ups and downs of life as a follower of Christ? Here's where it gets hard to live as a Christian. To put it simply, we have to do this. To live each day, to live that life that God gave us to the fullest. Experience the life that God has given you, no matter how different from the life you desire it to be. Love your brothers and sisters who are also part of God's creation. Forgive those who hurt you. Forgive them again and again and again. Care for creation. Protect the environment from human devastation. And remember that all creation needs this earth as much as we humans do. Care for those who are in need. And the other side of that coin is that we must allow ourselves to be cared for. That was a very hard lesson for Lee and myself to learn as we received the help of so many Genevans and people from Barrow. As good Americans, we value our independence and self-reliance. We feel uncomfortable when we become dependent on others. Somehow it violates our autonomy. But if we do not allow ourselves to be helped when we need it, then we are denying others the ability to minister. We're denying the gratitude we might feel toward other disciples and to our God. There are those who might tell you that we must follow Christ's commands in order to earn a place in God's eternal kingdom. That we must love and forgive and care for those who need our help. And there's something about that idea that just feels right. But we cannot earn our way into heaven. We cannot influence whether God loves us or not by what we do. Because God loves us no matter what. God's love is so big that we cannot destroy it. God's forgiveness is so big that our sin cannot negate it. God loves, God forgives, even those we might hate. And God died so that we might live eternally. What a loving God. Amen? Amen. Praise God. But what we gain from living as a follower of Jesus is a joy in this life for ourselves and for those we encounter every day. I've found over the years that whenever I do ministry, I am blessed far more than I bless others. And that's just as true here in Southeast Michigan as it is in Northern Alaska. What I've learned from the Inupiaq people of the North Slope is that there is a joy in God's creation that we of European descent seem to have lost sight of. Living next to the Arctic Ocean brings God's presence so close that you can almost taste it. The tundra is a place of stark beauty, a place filled with God's creatures that give themselves to us for sustenance. The ocean is full of whales and walruses and seals that provide food and clothing. The land is full of caribou and other game. And the connection between these animals and humanity includes God. Every animal taken brings praise of God to the lips of the Eskimo hunter. Every animal taken is shared with the community. And the bond between human and animal is not simply that of hunter and prey. It's a bond of interconnectedness that is part of God's plan. The same plan hauls us together into community, into the interconnectedness with one another, and makes us able to deal with the uncertainties of life. Although we do not know what might happen next, whether good or ill, we also know that we do not need to experience it alone, because God is with us, and because we have our brothers and sisters of that same community to share it with. My faith journey is ongoing, ever growing and evolving. I thank you for the opportunity to have shared just a small part of it with you. May God bless you this day and all your days. Amen. I'd be here forever. What I'm wearing, for those of you who have not seen it before, it's called an atikluk. It's literally, roughly translated as snow shirt, but it's not really. It's just a decorative thing. Denise, I was surprised you didn't have one on this morning. I've learned a lot from being in the North Slope, being in Alaska, and I'll treasure it for the all days of my life.